You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
I'll bet that the first Hollywood movie that comes to mind is It's a Wonderful Life, the Frank Capra classic, which stars James Stewart and Donna Reed as the high school sweetheart he marries, is set on one climactic Christmas Eve. Screening it has become a holiday tradition at the IFC Center, where it returns to for its fifth year this Friday and runs through Sunday the 26th. Also a tradition there is having Mary Owen introduce some of the screenings, which is most appropriate since she's Donna Reed's daughter. She'll be at the 7 o'clock shows on Friday and Saturday of this week, as well as on Christmas Eve, and I'm very pleased that all of that brings Mary Owen to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Thank you.
When was the first time you saw It's a Wonderful Life?
Actually, that's a good question. One of my best friends in college took me to see it at the New Art Theater. It was playing as an independent film.
That late?
Yes. I didn't, you know, Mom never really talked about the film when I was growing up. And it's a strange experience to grow up with a mother as an actress because I didn't, you know, I just thought that was her job, but I didn't really get it in a way. So when I went to see the film, first of all, I was just... You know, her luminosity in those first few scenes when she comes on the screen, I was speechless. And I also really got it about who she was as an actress.
Could you see your mother in the portrayal of Mary Hatch Bailey?
Yes, definitely.
So by now you must have seen it many times.
I don't know, 25, 30 times. I never tire, though.
But it's kind of interesting. It was already a regular on television by the time you saw it. Because it was in the public domain, so it was one of those movies that you could show without having to pay anybody. But you never watched it until then?
Well, no, because I think that it wasn't on TV maybe exactly when I was in college. So later on, we kind of sat around and watched it together as a family a few times. But you know, I wasn't part of that phenomena early on.
Do you prefer it on the big screen or is it okay on television?
I don't watch it on TV anymore, actually. It's an amazing experience on the big screen. I mean, this movie was made with so much care and love, and it's almost like seeing a different film.
You said your mother didn't talk about it. You ever wonder why? I mean, this was an important film in her career.
True, but, you know, you have to understand that she was a mom, and... She probably talked about these kind of things with her friends, but not her children. She was a mom when she was at home.
Did she ever talk about her films, any of the other films?
Not so much, really.
So you had to really research your mother's experience here.
It's a way of getting to know her, yeah.
A side of her that you would know. You really knew her just as a mom?
Well,
but you were growing up in Hollywood, in a Hollywood where a lot of the kids you went to school with also had moms who were actors.
That's true.
And dads as well.
Yes, and I didn't seek those people out as friends, actually, because it was just a strange – I really craved to be with kids who were kind of growing up in a more realistic environment. I mean, that might sound strange. But when I was growing up, she was doing the show.
The television show.
Yes, the Donna Reed show.
Which, of course, made her very famous. Yeah. I'm sure made you very famous.
Well, only by association. So that was really my world, Paul Peterson and Shelley and, you know, Carl Betz. So I think at that point her film career was, you know, in the past.
Your father had been in the film business as well.
He was. He was very a crucial player in her career, I believe. But, yes, he produced the Donna Reed Show, and it was their show together.
How did Frank Capra come to choose her?
Well, you know, of course he wanted Jean Arthur. That was his first choice. He loved her, and they worked previously together. But she was not available. He had seen my mother and they were expendable, John Ford's amazing World War II film. And he had run into her on the lot at MGM. And I just learned this yesterday, that once he saw her, he knew immediately that's who he wanted.
Well, it's interesting. I think she's better for the role than Jean Arthur, as much as I love Jean Arthur, because there's a softness to her portrayal that I don't know that I would have gotten from Jean Arthur.
Yeah, I think it would have been sort of more urbane with Jean Arthur, definitely.
Well, I don't know whether we should even bother asking you to tell the plot. After all, this is a movie that almost everybody I know has seen. But when it was released, was it a hit?
You know, it was popular with critics, but not with theatergoers. And I don't exactly know why that is. It may be that it was actually released in January. It was released after Christmas.
That was stupid. Although it was done actually by Capra, because this was a new company that he had formed with a number of other people, an early independent studio.
Liberty Films with George Stevens and William Wyler.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. That's pretty heavyweight.
Heavyweight.
Group.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they were disappointed that the movie didn't become a big moneymaker?
I don't know. Probably. And I think, you know, the budget for that film ended up being over $3 million, which is kind of hard to believe. But
Was that expensive in those
yes.
days?
Yes. Yes, very expensive. But, you know, it was such a great movie and Capra always loved it. So I don't know.
Why do you think it was so expensive? Wasn't it just shot on the back lot like all the other movies at the time?
I don't know. He was very meticulous with this film. I've read where, you know, he reshot each scene like several times closer and closer. And he also was very instinctual with this movie. Like if he didn't feel right about his idea, he would stop to think about it. He would actually take input from others. And if he still didn't feel right, he would stop shooting and come back to it, which is rare.
Do you have any idea where the story came from? It strikes me as a variant on the concept of Dickens' A Christmas Carol, although George Bailey is the absolute opposite of Scrooge.
Well, we've got Potter. He's a little Scrooge-like, right? It was a short story that was sent out as a Christmas card, and Capra picked it up. And I actually saw a little bit of it yesterday. I was at the Wesleyan Archives, and it actually starts off with the suicide. That's where the story begins.
Mm-hmm. Bailey's savings and loan is not much like banks today. but that is something you must have contemplated more and more, given the climate in banking and the financial institutions in recent years. You'd worked for Bear Stearns, hadn't you?
Yeah, I was there for almost 3 years. And it was a very painful experience going through what happened there.
So you were there during the meltdown?
Yeah, I was. And I, you know, from my perspective,
did it feel ironic considering the story that's told in
yes.
It's a Wonderful Life?
A little, but you know, having worked there, I so many good people there, so I have a different perspective on it.
My guest is Mary Owen, who is the daughter of Donna Reed, who stars as Mary Hatch Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life, which is showing at the IFC Center a number of times in the upcoming days as part of a tradition that the IFC yeah. has, a Christmas tradition, which also includes you talking about it. So what do you talk about?
Well, you know, this was really a big break for my mother. She had been she was under contract with MGM, and she'd been in a handful of what I consider very good movies, but at the time, you know, she was relatively unknown. So, and I also, it's a special film for me too, because it came, it was the first film that they did after World War II was over. And of course, we know that Frank Capra and James Stewart and my mother were very involved in World War II. She did a lot of corresponding with soldiers. She did a lot of, war bond drives and canteen, you know, dancing with soldiers and things like that. And Jimmy Stewart was, you know, a decorated pilot, and, you know, Capra worked for the government in Why We Fight. So I think it's got a special – I think that's kind of what gives it its darkness and its edge.
It's ironic that George Bailey, Jimmy Stewart's character, isn't able to enlist because of his bad ear.
Yeah, for
him. He keeps sacrificing his life for others. There's that incredible scene where Mary is on the phone and George is there, and we can see all the tension between his love for her and his desire – to see the world.
Yeah.
Which must have been something that a lot of people were feeling at that time.
They must have been exhausted from the war in a certain way too, I would think, just because I think the whole country was so involved, you know, as well. But that scene is very interesting because Jimmy Stewart kept putting it off. He was, you know, he wasn't sure he still had it as an actor when he came back after being, you know, serving. And he didn't want to do that scene. He wasn't ready. He was nervous. And finally, one day he said, okay, let's do it. And Mom was ready. And they did it in one take. There's two or three pages of dialogue that aren't included. It was cut, print. And then, of course, it was considered too racy at the time.
Wow. It's a Wonderful Life, rated R.
Exactly.
Hard to believe.
Yeah, isn't it?
Because this is, if anything, the complaint about this film is it's just too sweet and too sentimental in some ways.
Well, I think it's a great American film, and I love the fact that it's, you know, 64 years old this year, and people still want to see it.
Well, it's also interesting that they want to see it, that they understand it despite the fact that the world has changed so much. But maybe because we are talking about economic hard times and people getting through, we recognize similarities. Or maybe it's just because the film is so connected to the human condition.
Well, you know, it comes at an interesting time of the year because it's, you know, it's a nice way to start the holiday. And it's also people are reflecting on the past and thinking about the new year. And, you know, the truth of the matter is the movie makes you feel really good.
It was nominated for a number of Academy Awards.
It was, but didn't win any.
What wound up winning that year?
Was it The Best Years of Our Life?
Well, not a bad movie also.
No. But, you know, this movie is on the Academy's, it's listed as number 2 on their guilt list.
It has been selected for preservation by the Library of Congress. That happened in 1990.
Oh.
It's now on the National Film Registry. So very early in the process, people knew that this is one of the movies that had to be saved for posterity. I'm sure since you've thought about some of the other films that your mother made, are there any that you feel people should see to get a sense of her range?
Oh, well, yes. Unfortunately, I think some of them are not available on DVD, but there's a wonderful film, The Human Comedy, that's excellent. Gentle Annie is very good. Scandal Sheet, I think, is just finally out on DVD. That's an excellent film. That's more in the 50s, but it's got a great story, and she plays a wonderful character. She's a journalist.
Who directed that? That's not Sam Fuller, is it?
No, Phil Carlson.
Oh.
Maybe. But it's based on Sam Fuller's book, The Dark Page.
A portion of the proceeds from the screenings go to support the Donna Reed Foundation for the Performing Arts. What does that do?
Well, we have been around since 1986. When my mother passed away, she left her Oscar to her hometown. And we try and prepare kids who want to go on to pursue acting careers and performing arts careers for just that. So we do workshops. And we have instructors come from Hollywood and New York, and we give away money to kids who are pursuing their dreams.
You brought a letter that your mother wrote about doing the movie. Maybe we can close with you reading an excerpt from it.
Okay. Well, I just want to also encourage people to see this movie on the big screen because it's so amazing. She had a pen pal. And in those days, I guess that's what people did. And they started corresponding when they were 13 years old and continued until my mother died. And Violet turned the letters over to the foundation a few years ago. So this is dated March 11th, 1946. Just finished Faithful in My Fashion with Tom Drake, and we'll go into It's a Wonderful Life opposite James Stewart, his first since he's back from the wars, within a few weeks. This will be my big break, I think. And Tony and I are ever so happy. So far, we as husband and wife have run into no complications with two movie careers and one family. He is a wonderful guy, and it is a wonderful life. Love, Donna.
Hmm. Well, that's very loving. Did you have that sense about your parents?
I had that sense when I was little, when I was younger. But as, you know, they had a lot of work together, the show was a big responsibility. So towards the end, not so much.
It's a Wonderful Life is showing from this Friday through the day after Christmas, Sunday the 26th.
Oh.
And during three of those screenings, Mary Owen will be talking to the audience. That is the 7 o'clock shows on Friday and Saturday of this week. And then again, on Christmas Eve. I don't know the time on Christmas Eve.
I'm not sure either, probably 7 o'clock. And I just wanted to say, encourage people to come at 6:30 because we screen the famous Buster Keaton Christmas episode of the Donna Reed Show.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah, it's great.
And that's at the IFC, which is on Avenue of the Americas. I like to say 6th Avenue, usually, but Avenue of the Americas.
And West 4th.
And West 4th Street. Thank you so much, Mary, for being on our show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.